Well, we know it's LSU and Florida State. Now we know when they play and what time they play. We'll let you know all about that. We'll get a primer on the Seminoles. Plus, we'll take you back down memory lane to the team that knocked down the door. Somebody's got to be the first. We'll talk to one of the stars of LSU's first College World Series team. And they had to play the Florida State Seminoles that year. All these stories and more coming your way today, Tuesday, June 4th, 2019.
A chance to win night after night. Baez drives one in the air down the line and left. It's got a chance. It's gone. Javier Baez, a home run to left. And the Cubs now lead it 7-1. Baez having a big day.
First pitch, and that is drilled deep left field. And you can kiss it goodbye. Into the Astros bullpen after hitting off the out-of-town scoreboard. A bomb from Robinson Chirinos. 3-0 Astros. Chirinos, his eighth of the year.
Bergeron knocks it out. Gunnarsson has it. Kicks it onto his stick. Rick wide for Petrangelo. Back across for the right circle. A shot. Save. Rebound. Score! Ryan O'Reilly! His second of the game. 3-2 St. Louis.
Not singing the blues in St. Louis. They get a win against the Boston Bruins. Tie the NHL Stanley Cup Series at 2 games apiece. How about that? Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Yes, indeed. Clint Domain putting together everything. The Astros on a proverbial roll. My goodness gracious. They get guys injured, hurt, and they've won 8 of their last 10. They're 41-20 with a 9-game lead over the Texas Rangers in the AL West. I don't think that, you know, Minnesota is 40-18. I don't think there's any question who the best team in the American League is at this point in time. At this point in time. A lot of baseball to be played, but boy, the Astros on a roll, baby. On a roll. Yes, indeed. And we're on a roll today as well. My main man, CD, back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB 1037 The Game. And 1037thegame.com. Yours truly, Studio 1A. It's great to be with you. You can reach us at 337-706-0111. You can email me, askjordy@gmail.com. Twitter, @JHS1037. LSU, Florida State. It'll be the Saturday, Sunday, Monday version of the Super Regionals. There's 4 Super Regionals on that docket. There's 4 others on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Saturday, Sunday, Monday jauntlet is the SEC West. All the SEC West teams are playing in that one, including Ole Miss at Arkansas. Yes, indeed. Stanford has to go to Mississippi State. Auburn is at North Carolina and Florida State coming to LSU. First game Saturday, 2 p.m. from Alec Box Stadium, Skip Berkman Field. So, as always, since we are your source for LSU sports, we will have the game. We'll have the pregame show at 1:30, first pitch at 2 o'clock. On Sunday, it is a 5 o'clock start. So, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock, first pitch. Monday is the if-necessary game, and if it comes down to one game winner-take-all, that'll be at 7:30 p.m., and we'll keep you updated on this throughout the course of the week. But one thing remains constant. You can hear it right here on 103.7 The Game. Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat will join us at about 15 minutes after the hour, 8 minutes from now. We'll share his thoughts on Mike Martin's last Seminole team. He's been to a bunch of these things. Never broke down the door and won a College World Series. He's been to Omaha a bunch. But it just hadn't worked out for him. So it's a very dangerous ball club coming to the box. We'll have our Hot Topics segment in hour number
2.
Oh, also in hour number 1, Patrick Ebert, the managing editor of Perfect Game, will go through all 8 Super Regionals, and we'll get his picks in each one of them. Got some really good matchups, really good ones. So we look forward to talking with Patrick. Hour number 2, our Hot Topic segment with CD, that I'm really looking forward to talking to. You know, LSU baseball wasn't always this good. Let's be honest. They weren't always this good. Now, they've had some good teams before, but Skip Bertman was in his third season as the head coach. And the 1986 team was the first team to break open the barrier, break open the door, and get that team into Omaha in the College World Series. And a strange occurrence happened that year. Right before the regionals, a broadcasting network decided, you know, we got to put a game on television, and why not put number 1 versus number 2? And that was Florida State versus LSU. They flew LSU flew up the day of the game to Tallahassee and took on the number 1 ranked Seminoles. Michael Papajohn was the starting center fielder for the Tigers, the team that broke through that barrier and went to the College World Series. Michael is an accomplished actor as well now. You've seen him in various and sundry roles, and For the Love of the Game, The Water Boy, The Longest Yard, and on and on and on and on. Michael Papajohn will share some really great stories with us about that LSU baseball team and that game in Tallahassee. Interesting. Very interesting. So that's kind of what we have in store for you and yours today. Major League Baseball draft underway. We know about yesterday. It took place yesterday evening. Round 1 and 2 were on Monday. We got a bunch of rounds today, and then it'll go a third day. Major League Baseball, it wants to move this to Omaha prior to the start of the College World Series. And I kind of like that. I really do. But apparently, the NCAA is against it. Rob Manfred's pushing for it, and it just makes so much sense for everybody. But the NCAA is resisting it. And some nonsense about how it puts amateurism at risk, and that makes little to no sense at all to me. However, we do know that from the current roster, Josh Smith was the first LSU Tiger taken. Number 67 overall in the second round by the New York Yankees. Yes, indeed. Then, today, with the first pick in day 2, number 79 overall in the third round, the Baltimore Orioles selected LSU center fielder Zach Watson. He's hit .310 with 7 home runs and 41 ribbies this season. One of LSU's best defensive players. Josh Smith is going to sign. Zach Watson is going to sign as well. That's all we have as of right now. A couple of recruits for LSU went early in day 1. Number 24 overall in the first round, signee Daniel Espino, a 6'2" right-hander. He came to the United States from Panama in 2016. His number 24 pick overall, the slot value in MLB is $2,831,300. He ain't turning that down. In the second round, number 49 overall, the Cincinnati Reds signed another LSU signee, 6'4" infielder from IMG Academy in Florida, Reese Hines. His slotted bonus is $1.507 million. He gone. The big thing is that the dual sport threat, Mr. Hampton, who Ed Orgeron has been just hoping against hope, wouldn't get drafted. And Maurice Hampton apparently turned down $1.8 million, saying, "God knows my worth and has a plan for me. Baton Rouge, I'm coming home and I'm ready to work." So Hampton apparently will play football and baseball for LSU as we speak right here, right now. But we shall see. Things are looking good for him. So there you have that. It's an off day. Klay Thompson says he wants to play. We'll see what happens. Game three of the NBA Finals is tomorrow, so it's a day off. But they're practicing as the NBA Finals has moved back to Oakland and Oracle Arena. So we got a busy show planned for you and yours. We'll take our first time out of the day. Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat will tell us everything we need to know about this this team that's gotten hot at the right time. The Florida State Seminoles and the swan song of longtime coach Mike Martin. That's next on the Tuesday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station and your source for LSU sports, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Come on back.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. We know, again, that LSU and Florida State will be playing in the Super Regional this Saturday, Sunday, and if necessary, on Monday. First game Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Time, Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field. It is Mike Martin's victory tour. Coach, it's got an NCAA record, 2,026 career wins in his 40-year tenure as Florida State's coach, and he's stepping down as soon as the season comes to a close. Kurt Weiler has covered Coach Martin this season for the Tallahassee Democrat. He is kind enough to join us for the first time on the program. We're thrilled to have you, Kurt. Thank you for the time, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me on.
I got to be honest with you. We're kind of surprised that Florida State's coming. We all thought if LSU was going to survive in advance, they'd have to pack their bags and go to Georgia. What in the Sam Hill happened to you guys where you just got 35 runs in sweeping through three games in Athens?
I got to be honest with you. I was thinking that was my last weekend covering the team. I think pretty much everyone on the Florida State beat went up there kind of expecting to write the end of the road story. And the team, I mean, I think there's something to kind of the notion of a team playing for something bigger than itself in Coach Martin and what he's meant for this program. I think you saw that. I mean, that was probably the best team they've played this year, or if not, it's definitely up there. And they played, I mean, they waxed Georgia twice, the Georgia team that had lost at home three times all season. So a lot happened, and I mean, honestly, I wouldn't think they would hold in this weekend. It'll be interesting to see. But if they're able to carry forward any momentum from that, I think it could be a heck of a series.
Hasn't been your typical season at Florida State. 42 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, but the first time in the program's history that they came in as a number three seed in a four-team regional. They'd always been either seeded first or second. What flipped the switch all of a sudden on this club?
It's been interesting. I think they made some changes to the lineup. There's kind of a come to Jesus moment, if you will, where Mike Martin kind of said, we need to make changes. It was after they lost the series at home to Boston College, which hadn't happened in a long time. And they ended up, I mean, they got on a tear. I think you also saw it was a team that started four freshmen to begin the year in the field.
Okay.
So obviously they handled some of the non-conference teams that they're just better than well. And they hit ACC, and they all kind of collectively at a similar time hit a wall of, oh, wow. And when half your lineup is first-year players, that can be tough. And I think you kind of saw them grow up collectively. And that especially showed out with how many of them had big impacts with what they did in Athens last weekend.
Kurt Weiler, Tallahassee Democrat, kind enough to join us. Florida State last played in Baton Rouge in 1983. Tell me about, you know, for LSU, they've made a resurgence. These are two very similar teams to me. It's been a tough regular season, but it looks like both teams are peaking at the right time. Part of that for LSU is they've now got their pitching staff intact. Tell me about when Mike Martin looks at his pitching staff. What does he see, and who's going to be out there for you?
They're going to throw. It's going to be they've had the two top guys in Drew Parrish and CJ Van Eyck. They'll throw the first two games, respectively. They've pretty much been in the one and two spots all season. Parrish is a guy, he's not going to blow you away with the speed. He kind of fits 92, but I would say they're expecting him to get drafted today sometime. He's a junior. He's got elite command. He commands very well. He has pretty good off speed that kind of counters how he doesn't have that incredible kind of speed velocity on the fastball. And he's had kind of a tough year. He went from about a 2.5 ERA last year to over 5 at this point this year. He's had some games where he's looked great, and he's had some games where he's been absolutely shelled. So CJ Van Eyck is a guy. He outdueled Georgia's Emerson Hancock when they faced off last weekend. He's looked at as probably a first-round guy in the 2020 draft. He's a lot of what you're looking for. He can touch 98 on a good day, got good off-speed to bounce counter that. They love his mentality on the mound. The third guy's really been up in the air a lot this year. Connor Grady got the start in that third game in the Athens Regional. He's kind of shared the third starting spot with a couple other guys throughout the season, but he shut down that Georgia lineup, did exactly what they needed. I would say it's safe to say Connor Grady will be in that third spot if that game comes up going into the weekend in Baton Rouge.
Drew Mendoza, he was one of the early draftees off this ball club. Florida State always has great players. Is Drew the one you come to think of when you think of Florida State baseball this year?
He's been, I would say, him and the shortstop Mike Salvatore have been your two consistent hitters. He's a guy, he got better every year here, especially offensively. He went from hitting 270 when he came in as a freshman to, I think, he's 320 this year. Has almost as many homers this year, 16, as he did in his first 2 years combined. They really like what they have seen from there. He kind of showed, too, he can hit lefty pitching and hit top-level pitching. He did, in that Athens Regional. So I was a little surprised he wasn't taken last night. I think he was more projected as like an end-of-the-first-two-rounds guy, but he flipped to today. But, no, him and the shortstop Mike Salvatore, who's really blown up on draft radar this year relative to where he was coming into the year, are really the guys who've been consistently leading the lineup.
Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat, LSU, Florida State, Saturday, Sunday, if necessary, Monday here in Baton Rouge for the right to go to Omaha in the College World Series. Who in the Sam Hill takes the place of Mike? Who's going to be coaching Florida State next year? You talk about big shoes. That's absurd.
There's no doubt. It's kind of been the storyline, since we knew for sure last June that this would kind of be it. They've had a coaching search committee for a while now. There's a couple people. One you look at on staff is Mike Martin Jr., his son, who's been an assistant for a while now, going on 15 or so years at Florida State as the hitting coach. He's a choice, but I guess the downside with him is there's the lack of head coaching experience. The FAMU coach, who's the Florida A&M, is another school in town, who is a former Florida State assistant coach and player, put his name in. And there's a couple other names of former FSU players or just names, guys like Doug Minkiewicz or Link Jarrett at UNC Greensboro, are some guys that you're kind of keeping an eye on. But it'll be there's not going to be much of a down period. There can't be, really, once this ends. I think that the committee's been working for a while, and I would assume shortly after the season ends you'll get that announcement.
Has Coach Martin changed at all? Is he kind of sitting back and enjoying this last ride, or is he his normal competitive get after itself?
He talked, actually, I would say, about kind of letting himself. Somebody, I think, at the ACC tournament, when it was kind of like if they didn't win that NC State game, it was quite possible, looking back now, they wouldn't be in the tournament.
Uh-huh.
Somebody kind of told him, "I want you to take some time, look around, enjoy the moment a little bit." And he said he tried and didn't let himself do it for very long. It's tough because especially now, just with he sees how close this team is to that trip to Omaha. And, would this team be the favorite if it made it there? No. But, every team's got a chance. College baseball, probably as much as any sport, any team can win it. We've seen it with Fresno State. We've seen it with Coastal Carolina. It can be weird like that. So,
when you think of LSU baseball, back when Skip Bertman first started out, Florida State was they were it, and teams were trying to be like them. Now LSU has got their own course, and they seem like this is a rite of passage to get to Omaha. Seems like a lot. When I mention LSU baseball and you bring that up to the Florida State players, what is their thought of what they're about to face?
Well, a couple of them, not a ton of guys. This is a pretty young team on the whole, but a couple of them were on that 2017 team that lost to LSU twice in Omaha. So they have a little familiarity. I know the LSU team is a good bit different than that one was as well. That was, I mean, there were a number of key guys who were no longer on that, no longer on the roster, but they've both reloaded well. I mean, they know the kind of, having not talked to them yet, we'll talk to them tomorrow for the week. I mean, I'm sure they're aware of the environment that is Alex Box and the program. I mean, it's pretty crazy to me that these are the two teams who've made the most super regional appearances, and they've never faced off in one.
Yeah.
It's FSU has 17, LSU has 14. They've never faced off. I mean, they know the challenge ahead of them in terms of team, and they know the in terms of environment and all that. But I think the biggest thing, they talked about going into the Athens regional not feeling the pressure. And I think that played a big role for them in what they were able to pull off. So it'll be interesting to see as we get deeper in the tournament, as the pressure might grow a little, are they able to kind of keep that worry-free attitude?
Yeah. I mean, it's a tremendous matchup with the team with the most super regional appearances in Florida State with 17 since the NCAA tournament format was established, the current one in 1999. LSU tied with Cal State Fullerton for the second most with 14. It's just amazing. You know, I noticed the attendance in Athens was, I can promise you this, Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat. They'll be 11,000 strong each and every day that this thing plays, and it'll be packed, and it'll be hot, and it'll be loud. It's going to be fun, my friend. It really will be.
No, I agree. It's probably the box top of the list for me in terms of visiting college baseball stadiums I want to see at. So I'm excited to get there. I'll be interested to see how many LSU fans let FSU fans buy tickets, because they will want to. There's most likely a desire of, same as there was last weekend, of if this is it, I want to be there for the last game.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of the crowd mix.
Interesting it will be. Well, I can't thank you enough. It should be a lot of fun. And the legendary Mike Martin, I feel for the guy. And now I'm an LSU guy, so I want LSU to win. But, man, if he gets to Omaha, I got to pull for the guy. Got to pull for him. I hope he gets it. Maybe the last song is the best song, right?
It'll be interesting. He's talked some about how he's kind of, a while ago now, kind of made peace that might never happen for him. And so it'll be interesting if he's kind of at peace with that. And definitely, I would say, coming to the postseason, obviously you hope for the best, but not thinking that's a possibility. It will be interesting. And if I had to bet, I would bet a lot of people without a rooting interest would agree with you.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who has to stay unbiased, I mean, you can't help but just like Mike Martin as someone who covers him on a daily basis.
Yeah, the good guys. Those baseball coaches are good guys. They are. Kurt Weiler, you're a good guy, too. Keep up the great work for the Tallahassee Democrat. Thanks so much for the preview. Enjoy the festivities. You'll eat good. You'll be in a luxurious ballpark, and you'll see some really good baseball. So get yourself down here safely and enjoy, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. That's Kurt Weiler, Tallahassee Democrat. We'll get a national perspective of things with Patrick Ebert, the managing editor of Perfect Game, and that's coming up next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Major League Baseball draft going on as we speak, and the times and dates have been set for the 8 super regionals for the right of those winners to go to the College World Series in Omaha. Patrick Ebert, the managing editor of Perfect Game, kind enough to join us. Patrick, how you feeling? I know you're busy these days, man. How are you?
I'm a little low on sleep, but I'm hanging in there.
Okay. What was the biggest shocker, if there was one, of the regional play to get us to these 16 teams that are still standing and surviving?
Yeah, it's probably the two Georgia teams that fell off. Number 3 seeded as far as national seeds go, Georgia Tech was 3 and Georgia was 4, and they were beat, you know, by one of the teams that LSU is going to face this weekend. And Florida State knocked off Georgia over the weekend, and that was pretty surprising. You know, Florida State had not played this season like we thought they would coming into the year. So I guess on paper, you know, it's not that big of a surprise, but performance-wise, it was. And Georgia, of course, we thought was one of the best, most well-rounded teams in the nation. So the fact that they fell, I think, was the most surprising. I thought Georgia Tech was a little, I guess, aggressively seeded at number 3. I thought they'd be more in the 8-12 range, but, you know, not to take away from that. But obviously right now it doesn't really matter because they won't be playing for a chance to play in Omaha.
That's right. UCLA, the number 1 seed, advanced. Vandy, the number 2 seed, advanced as well. And then a little bit of mayhem here and there. You mentioned Florida State. It doesn't matter that people thought they shouldn't even get in the tournament, that it was a Mike Martin farewell gift. Hey, they took on Georgia, and they just destroyed that regional. I mean, the bats, just all of a sudden, whatever happened, they came alive.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun series to follow from that perspective, just because, I mean, Florida State has a really good lineup, but the problem is it's inconsistent because they have several freshmen that are in that lineup and a former club captain in Tim Becker, which is just a very unique story that's developing out of Tallahassee. But their junior and their leader on the lineup, Drew Mendoza, had a big weekend series, and I'm pretty sure they all 3 games they scored double digit runs, so the bats are certainly working for them. And then Connor Grady and CJ Van Eyck, their Saturday and Sunday starters, pitched, you know, kind of like how as well as they usually can, and that helped propel them to a win. But it was pretty convincing for Florida State, and I thought they were deserving to make it into the tournament with or without Mike Martin's backstory there. But but now that you have that, and now that he's one step closer to Omaha, and of course he's never won a national championship, that's going to be a bigger and bigger story as they advance.
Patrick Ebert of Perfect Game, kind enough to join us. We talked earlier in the year about LSU baseball. Boy, it's been a roller coaster ride with injuries and all, but it seems like Paul Maneri has got his guys healthy for the first time all year and playing their best baseball at the right time of the year. What are your thoughts on the Tigers?
I think the biggest takeaway I have with LSU is the fact that they have their pitching staff aligned in a way where they have the players in the spots that they fit best, meaning Zach Hess is back to the closer role. You know, Devin Fontenot and Todd Peterson are in kind of like an expanded setup roles. And when those 3 guys are coming out of the bullpen, among a few others, that's when LSU is really going to be good. Now, last weekend, things went well for them. You know, Landon Marceau pitched well, and Cole Henry pitched well, and Eric Walker pitched well enough, you know, to win. He's going to need to be a little better in the Super Regional round and in moving forward should they advance. But pretty remarkable, you know, Landon Marceau and Cole Henry doing the jobs that they did, and not quite Alex Lang worthy, but, you know, in that category since they're both productive freshmen having good years. But and really that's all they need to do. They need to be productive. They need to keep the game, just to keep the team in the game, because the offense, as we all know, is good enough to score runs. And even if they don't get them on the board early, just keep them around because they can do a lot of danger at any point in the game.
Patrick Ebert, Perfect Game. We're talking Super Regional play. LSU, of course, will have the Saturday, Sunday, Monday trifecta. There's a bunch of games on Friday. Let's just get some quick thoughts from you, and who do you like? And we'll start off with 10th-seeded East Carolina at 7th-seeded Louisville, whose pitcher got ejected for 4 games for saying that's horrible. That's bizarre to me.
that's the wrong call. It's another example of a rule that NCAA needs to quickly change and just get rid of, because that shouldn't be allowed to happen. But, I mean, both teams kind of had to go the hard way. They both had to win yesterday to advance. They went through the loser's bracket to do so in the regional round, and the depth of their staff and overall team proved to come out on top. And I think Louisville hosting East Carolina is going to be one of the more fascinating super regional matchups. I think those teams are pretty well evenly matched, and I think it's going to be a very competitive series. And really, at this point in time, I mean, I would have to flip a coin to tell you, you know, who's going to come out on top. Because It'd be easy to go with Louisville. They're the host. They're the kind of the brand name as far as college baseball goes and what they've done and how they've done it. But I really like that East Carolina team, yeah. The way they're stacked up. And, I mean, Alec Burleson, is their two-way player, he comes out of the bullpen. He starts. He bats leadoff for them. He does everything. And I just really like that. I'm looking forward to watching that series.
They're both 47 and 16, so I can understand the coin flip. Number 9, Oklahoma State at number 8, Texas Tech. What do you think?
Yeah, another good one, another Big 12 matchup between two teams that finished the season on top of that conference. And Texas Tech right now is just, it looks like they always do at this time of year. Head coach Tim Tadlock always has this team prepared and firing on all cylinders when they need to, and that's exactly the position they're in right now. I do think they emerge from that super regional. Okay. They're hosting Oklahoma State at home. For some reason, I think they're going to continue to have a fairly easy time, at least relative to the other teams.
Gotcha.
That's not to take anything away from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I just think Texas Tech is in really good position right now to advance.
I got to believe Vanderbilt's in great shape. Duke is 34-25, and Vanderbilt gets them at home. The doors are tough to beat in Nashville.
They sure are. Right now, they're tough to beat anywhere. I mean, they're the favorite right now to win it all. And I think if you ask most, you know, experts or even non-experts that follow college baseball, I think they would probably agree that Vanderbilt right now is the team to beat. And that makes it an especially daunting task for Duke, who, you know, really was another one of those teams that was questionable whether or not they should have made the tournament.
Right. Right.
Obviously, they showed that they should because they advanced from the regional, advanced to the super regional round for the second straight year. The one thing that Duke has that will put them in a good position to at least have a chance to upset is they have pitching depth, and that's the one thing you're going to need when you go up against a lineup like Vanderbilt who can really outscore anyone. They can outscore LSU. They can outscore Mississippi State. They can outscore the best offenses in the nation, and they have good pitching. So it's just – it's just such a deep team, and they're loaded.
Michigan at number 1, UCLA. The Bruins come in at 51-9.
Yeah, it's in that. And again, UCLA had to go through the loser's bracket to win that one, although as did Michigan, although Michigan was not the favorite out in the Corvallis regional. But, yeah, I mean, UCLA made it look fairly easy once they got there. They had a tough matchup with LMU and in Los Angeles there, but they ended up prevailing. I think a three-game set really benefits both of these teams in that Michigan in particular has three really good starters, but not a lot of depth after that. And I think the way UCLA stacks up is that, you know, they too have three good starters, but then they have just tremendous depth in their bullpen, and I think that's going to be the difference out there.
We like the Bruins. Managing editor of Perfect Game, Patrick Ebert. We go to the Saturday, Sunday, Monday slots, and that's the SEC West in the Super Regional. Starting off what I think is going to be a great one, Ole Miss at Arkansas. I mean, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's probably the best pure matchup simply because it is an SEC West rivalry game between those two teams. Arkansas is so good at home, and for them to continue to be at home is such a huge factor in their favor. However, it's important to note that Ole Miss is the only team this year that went to Arkansas and beat them during their SEC weekend series this year. So they know what it's like. They know how to do it. They know how to get it done. Ole Miss has a very good offense. They have some competent pitching. Arkansas, on the other hand, is just they've been getting the job done all season long. I like their depth. I really like their head coach, Dave Van Horn, and in this case, I'm not betting against the home team here.
Gotcha. Arkansas. All right, Auburn coming out of that Georgia Tech regional. They beat them, and now they face, in Chapel Hill, 14th-ranked North Carolina.
Yeah, I think Auburn is kind of similar setup to LSU in that, going into the postseason, you didn't really know what to expect of their pitching staff. They were a little shorthanded. Their ace, Tanner Burns, was, you know, not injured, but, you know, he was kind of slowed down and needed some time to rest his shoulder, and he appeared to get back on track this past weekend. But, I mean, it was the offense that really stepped forward. Steven Williams was our player of the week for his accomplishments. He had that big walk-off home run over the weekend, and, and had some big hits Friday and Sunday as well. So Auburn, you know, if they're peaking, they're able to ride this momentum. They're dangerous. However, North Carolina is a very good team top to bottom. I mean, they went to the College World Series a year ago. Mike Fox is one of the best head coaches. Playing at Chapel Hill helps. I think this will be a close series, but I do think North Carolina ends up on top there.
All right. Stanford has to travel to Duty Noble to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Quickly, what do you think?
Yeah, Stanford, you know, it's the first time since 2014 they advanced to Super Regionals, and that was a big, big accomplishment for them. They lost at home in the regional round each of the last 2 years. Now, that said, Mississippi State is one of the best teams in the nation. You know, they're up there with Vanderbilt, you know, and even UCLA as far as most complete teams. They have a very, very good offense. Ethan Small was the SEC Pitcher of the Year. Stanford obviously has to travel across the country to play that series. Mm-hmm. And they played into yesterday, whereas Mississippi State was done on Sunday. So I think that's going to be the deciding factor, and Mississippi State will come out on top.
And finally, Florida State comes to Alec Box Stadium, Skip Burton Field, where there'll be 11,000 strong each and every day. They tee it up. LSU at 40-24. These are two teams that kind of mirror one another, don't they?
They certainly do, and it's a tough series to project because LSU always has that postseason magic at Alec Box, and you got to believe that there's going to be some just exciting way that the Tigers are going to end one of the games this weekend. Now, that said, Florida State has a lot on their side, too, with Mike Martin and that whole magical kind of story. And him going out on top as the winningest coach in the history of college baseball. I mean, on paper, the logical side of me says LSU has the advantage. But kind of the other side of me thinks that Florida State just is going to be really tough to beat, since everybody on that team is going to be playing at a different level to try to get that national championship for 11 there.
Be interesting.
Very, very interesting. 16 teams left, 8 trying to punch their ticket to Omaha. We will see what happens. Any surprises in the MLB draft to you so far? We got Josh Smith going early second round to the Yankees. Zach Watson was the next one that went, but R.J. Hampton's the one that everybody's kind of talking about in this part of the world, being that football-baseball combo guy. What are your thoughts there on him?
Yeah, Hampton's a guy we had out on our All-Star game last August, the Perfect Game All-American Classic that's we have televised on MLB Network in the middle of August. But he's such a dynamic talent, and, I mean, I've had the chance to stand next to him, and he makes anyone look pretty small, and makes you feel pretty small, too, just how big he is and how physical he is. And he's just such a dynamic athlete. And that's not to say that, you know, he's raw in baseball either. He's been playing baseball for such a long time that, that you know, his skills are fairly refined, and he can hit the ball a long way. He can run like a deer. He's got a great throwing arm in the outfield. But at this point in time, if he's not taken, you know, it seems unlikely you're going to be able to sign him away from a two-sport possibility at an SEC school.
The Murray at Oklahoma with the both sport, I think Major League Baseball might be a little leery with that now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, but we've seen it before. There's been some other cases. So, really, it's kind of an individual thing. And really what it comes down to for most of these players, you know, we saw it with Jameis Winston, too, is that allure of playing in the NFL is just so, so big, you know, and I can't really blame him for it. And you can try to talk to a player and talk to him how baseball may be the safer way to go. You don't have to worry about concussions and just all the different ways your body can get injured when so many people are trying to harm you on every play of every game. But, just being able to suit up on Sundays, that's a pretty special opportunity for anyone, really.
Well, Patrick, I can't thank you enough for your time. Let's talk about this next week. We'll know who the 8 competitors are in the World Series by that time, and we'll get your expertise on what you think about it, and we'll see if LSU's one of those 8. We certainly, in this neck of the woods, hope it is the case. But thank you for your time, as always. You're terrific, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, enjoy the games, Journey. Take care.
All right, buddy, you take care. Managing editor of Perfect Game, Patrick Ebert, here on The Jordy Hultberg Show. That brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson, Cecilia Exit in Bro Bridge. Frankie, He loves sport, loves the Tigers, the Cajuns, the Saints, the Pelicans, the Astros. He loves them all, and he'll talk to you about them, and he's got everything you need for your travels. He really does. And that True Soul Food Deli, tucked away in the corner, my oh my, the best cheeseburger you'll ever taste, and so much more. Fresh, cooked to order. You can eat in or get it in the car and hit the highways. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. We'll be back to wrap up our number one next.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
We're back at 53 minutes after the hour. CD back in the Master Control Suite. Hot topics coming up at the top of hour number two. And we'll talk with former LSU baseball player and Hollywood actor Michael Papajohn to talk about LSU baseball as well. If you need a place to hang out after the game, bring your uniform team of six or more in to Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway and get 40 boneless wings on us. Kids and adult teams are welcome, but you got to have your uni on. So come after the ball game, get some wings, compliments of Hooters. Yes, indeed. And school is out, and in Acadiana, in Lafayette, you can bring the family for some Hooters fun. The kids will eat free at Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey on Saturday. So, if you can't make the trek down to Baton Rouge for the Super Regional, go sit down, relax in the air-conditioned comfort. Bring the kids. The kids will eat free. You'll get to watch the ball game. It's a win-win proposition, to say the very least. So, can't beat it. Hooters just makes you happy. The SEC announced today that they have signed an agreement where an SEC team will participate in the Las Vegas Bowl against a Pac-12 football opponent in the years 2020, 2022, and 2024. The SEC has also added a new bowl partnership with the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa through 2025. So it always works where you have the college football playoff, right? Then you have the All-State Sugar Bowl or the Capital One Orange Bowl, and then the pecking order goes Citrus Bowl, and then the SEC Pool of Six, which has the Outback Bowl, the Gator Bowl, the Music City Bowl, Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, and now the Las Vegas Bowl and the Belk Bowl. So there's a lot of teams going to be going to bowl games for sure. Would you be interested in going to Las Vegas to play a Pac-12 team in the Las Vegas Bowl? Would you be interested? Or you just, I want to get to the playoffs or bust. Is that, where are we with this? Where are we in the LSU football hierarchy? I think first and foremost, LSU wants to go to Atlanta. And if they go to Atlanta, they'll be, as a winner, they'll definitely be in the college football playoff. And I think that should be the goal. I really do. And this year could be it. They got a heck of a team coming back. They started their conditioning workouts today. And they're getting after it. Run, run, run under the guidance of Tommy Moffitt. And, you become a champion when there aren't people out there watching. There aren't 101,000 people watching. You're just doing the work in the heat. And it's run after run after run, back up and down the field in the heat. But that's, I've always said, you can't win a championship now, but you can lose one. You really can. So, there you have that. All right, hour number one is history. Hot topics coming up, Michael Papajohn, and much, much more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. We're on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Twitter, at JHS1037. Let's get it going. Hour number two, straight ahead. Tuesday edition, the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Packers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, hour number two of two on a hot, sultry Tuesday, the fourth day of June. Opening game, Super Regional, Saturday at 2 o'clock. All session books go on sale Friday morning at 8 a.m. Tickets will be $30 each. Single game tickets will only be sold at game time if space allows. So keep that in mind. Season ticket holders have already gotten theirs all signed up for. But session books go on sale Friday at 8 a.m. Three games, $10 apiece. If LSU wins two, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to eat the, you spend $10 to not go to a game. No refunds. If Florida State wins two, no refunds. You just, $30. $30. That's what it takes. All right. Michael Papajohn will join us in this hour. The 1986 LSU baseball team was the team that crashed through the door, broke that barrier, and they were the first team to go to the College World Series in Omaha. They didn't win it. Heck, they didn't win it the next year either when they went back. But they got the ball rolling. And during that 1986 season, right before the regional, ESPN made a made-for-television event. Number one Florida State hosting number two LSU on a Monday night baseball game. Yes, indeed. How about that? Michael Papajohn will share some fascinating stories, I bet, about that game, about that team, about that season, and about the LSU baseball program. So we look forward to talking with him. But without further ado, as we do each and every day at this time of day, we kick off hour number two with our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, if you don't mind, let's push that button in.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Clint Domain, a.k.a. CD, producer extraordinaire. Go back to when you were 18 years old, Clint, which probably wasn't that long ago. Somebody said, you don't have to go to work. You don't have to put on a tie. Just put on a baseball uniform, and we'll pay you $1.8 million. Would you be sitting where you're sitting right now?
No, I wouldn't, Jordy. I'd probably wind up still. Hopefully, if I'm like, I'm thinking like $1.8 million, 18 years old, definitely going to wind up a first round draft pick. I'd hope I'm still in the league, Jordy. But again, you know, things wind up happening. Hopefully, maybe I'd wind up having a game plan in place if the game of baseball passed me by and eventually going to get the college education down the road. Maybe apparently, I would, but, you know, definitely it's an uphill climb, Jordy, to think about.
Apparently Coach O right now is smiling, smiling, because that's what apparently Maurice Hampton turned down. He's going to go play some football at DBU and get to center field for the Tigers unless something strange and bizarre happens. But as of right now, sounds pretty good. All right, what you got today, big guy?
Well, you talk about Maurice Hampton. That's kind of where I want to start things off. I feel like this is just a smart move on his part because you're talking about the fact he'd probably get $1.8 million. You got to think, Jordy, he might have a better career as a football player as opposed to a baseball player with Palmanaria crew. He could probably get a lot more money from the NFL as opposed to Major League Baseball. We've seen it. We saw what happened with Kyler Murray. So it feels like that could wind up being another reason why he turned it down.
I think you're spot on that. He's that two-sport athlete. He's one of the top defensive back. I mean, gee whiz, you put him Hampton out there, and I guess gives you some more depth for Coach O and Dave Aranda.
Yep.
And Paul Maneri had him penciled in as his starting center fielder from day one. So we shall see. We shall see.
I can't wait to see what he does out there, Jordy, next season, because the guy, I wound up just pulling up some numbers on him, has a .400 batting average, had 10 home runs last year. He could be an absolute beast for this program. Of course, some other guys of note wound up getting drafted last night. Jimmy Lewis, the last pick of the second round on night one. And I think Rhys Hines is one you're going to miss out a lot on. This guy is an absolute monster, can just hit home runs at will out of IMG Academy. But I think the biggest one has to be Daniel Pacino. That guy is just he's got the heater, and I would have loved to have seen him be part of LSU.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens, how long we have to wait to hear Zach Hess's name, Antoine Duplantis, Todd Peterson, Saul Garza. We saw that Zach Watson went first in the third round to the Baltimore Orioles. So we'll see. And there's a couple of other LSU signees out there. Money talks. We'll see what happens.
I have to say, it was just really cool to see, you know, Josh Smith get picked up late on Monday night by the New York Yankees in the same organization where another former Tiger is in DJ LeMahieu. Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Look, that's the dilemma that faces LSU. They sign top players, and that's the, you know, you put all the work into it, you get the kid to sign, and then you always have that thing in the back of your mind. Well, come June, we're going to have this draft come up, and we may lose some of them. So that's just the juggling act that you have to do. Remember, it's not full scholarships in baseball. They got to split that thing out amongst a whole bunch of players. It's hard to turn down that money sometimes. But I think you're starting to see a trend more and more. There's such good baseball in college. Yep. It's like playing in the minor leagues, and you get your education, and after 3 years, you probably have a chance to be picked higher and make more money. So I'm seeing more and more players opt to go to college, and I think that's great.
Ask and you shall receive, Jordy. One of those Tigers just got drafted, and that is one Zach Hess. Wild thing, he's still a Tiger, Jordy, with the Detroit Tigers.
Ooh. I'm sure Chuck Wood is thrilled by that.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
Loving the Tigers that he does. And you know what? Zach Hess is going to be in the bullpen. I don't think he'll be in the minors that long. I really don't. I think he has a chance to get up there pretty quickly.
He's definitely,
do some work.
He's definitely a guy that's going to be underrated coming out of the seventh round. Somebody I think you need to definitely keep an eye on. And hell, I think the Detroit Tigers have been having a pretty solid draft as of late, but that's definitely the first Tiger off the board in quite some time. Hopefully we see more of those. Definitely, I think Twani should be getting picked up before today's over with.
I would hope so. We'll have, speaking of that, we'll have Josh Smith on tomorrow.
Nice.
He had some meetings he had to go to today, but he's going to come on tomorrow and share his thoughts about what his day was like as he got the call from the New York Yankees. That's not a bad gig.
Oh, no. It was really cool, though, kind of just seeing it. I don't know if you watched any of the MLB draft last night, Jordy.
Did not.
It was entertaining because you wound up having, like, all the, it was the main picks, like your top, your first-round picks.
Uh-huh.
And you had a bunch of Hall of Famers for their respective teams just watching footage of them. You had, like, some really great legends watching footage of these new players for the first time ever, and them just giving their, like, genuine reaction. It was awesome all the way around, their presentation. Way different than what we've seen with the NFL draft.
My daughter has to have a surgical procedure next week, so we're trying to do as much as we can to give her a summer. So she called up and said, "Dad, I want to go see a movie." I said, "All right, you name it. You name it, we'll go." We went to go see the Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
It was really good, but little did I know that movie was over 3 hours long.
Yep, it's just over 3 hours.
It was amazing. They had every superhero known to mankind on that thing. And it was good. We had a good time, but man, it got kind of late. I'm like, jeez. Come on now. So anyway, that was my night. You watched MLB, and I watched Iron Man and Thor and The Incredible Hulk and Spider-Man. I watched them all, man. I saw my whole youth flash in front of me.
All right, I'm 3, 2, 1. Earmuffed people, yeah. Rest in peace, Iron Man.
Yes, 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 yes.
You're
exactly right.
All right, Jordy, moving over to actual sports talk.
Yes.
My goodness. The NFL may be finally making some moves to get rid of at least two preseason games, but it'll come at a price because you'll put those two preseason games as additional regular season games, according to some reports. Not exactly what I want. Just give me the 16 games. Okay. Those are fine.
All right, here's the whole deal. This is all a bargaining chip. They're starting to do this NFLPA, and the NFL is starting to negotiate. They don't want a labor strike. This is all bargaining chips. Now, the players will be all for it if and only if a couple of things happen. They get a lot more out of the deal for themselves. Maybe, how about lifetime health insurance? How about expanding the roster more? Four preseason games is too much. If they're not going to go to 16 to 18 games, just keep it at 16 and just do two preseason exhibition games.
Yeah.
College plays all their games and they don't have a warm-up game. They just get right into it. So you can't tell me the pros can't do the same thing. Who wants to see that fourth exhibition game when nobody plays in it? I'd rather see 18 games. I really do. So bring them on, let them all count, and let's play for real. But the only way the players do it is if they get more money and they get more benefits because of it.
And I have to say, Jordy, the clock is ticking already for LeBron James, according to the rumors coming out that if the Lakers whiff in free agency, the man could be demanding a deal to get out of La La Land only after about one season, Jordy. It's crazy to see how much that ship has sunk in the last, 12 months.
What would LeBron James command and demand? I mean, we're looking at what Anthony Davis is, and all the stuff. What would it take to get LeBron James, and where would he want to go? My goodness.
It's an interesting thought process, Jordy.
Yeah.
And, we talked about Avengers Endgame. I think it'd probably be a lot like when Thanos, it cost him everything to snap the universe out of existence. So I think it wind up cost a team damn near everything to get a guy like LeBron James because he commands and demands. You'd have to almost give away the ownership to be able to get him to trade over.
You're right. It would be like the Ricky Williams trade to the New Orleans Saints that just went in the wrong direction and blew the program away. I don't know what it would take to get LeBron and what kind of owner, because LeBron's on the downhill slide here a little bit. He doesn't have too much left in the tank, I can't imagine. What would it take and what owner would want to do that and buy on the short term just to win a title? Maybe Mark Cuban at Dallas would want to do it.
Maybe he would.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't know who would do it, but we'll see. But I'm sure they'll try everything they can. Apparently, David Griffin is high on Brandon Ingram. And now that Dell Demps is out of the picture, maybe, just maybe, this Lakers deal might have some bite to it.
Need some more partners with it if you're just going to get Brandon Ingram out of this. Needs to be like a three-team deal. And then maybe Adam Silver stops that one as well, like he did the Chris Paul trade.
Yeah, well, that was David Stern with the help of Adam Silver. You're right. But we shall see. All right. There's your Hot Topics for the day. What would it take to get LeBron? Wow. Major. Would the Knicks do it? They don't have anything to give in return. Anywho, Hot Topics is always brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. The B-Art family, not a nicer family in the world, and they, for nearly 90 years now, have been producing products under the label of Cajun Chef. Their hot sauce uses only the finest spices, only the finest peppers, and their own secret ingredients. And again, a great product every day. You can find it at your favorite grocery store, your favorite restaurant. But just in case, be prepared. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Because I'm telling you, everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. Do your eggs in the morning. Oh, my gosh. The greatest. The greatest. All right. This is the Jordy Helpert Show, 337-706-0111. We'll update the world of sports and more when we return here, Tuesday edition, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helpert Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Great to be with you. CD over there. Yours truly over here. We welcome your phone calls at 337-706-0111. Twitter at JHS1037. Brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. 59 of them in southern and central Louisiana. Doosan's my favorite, but they're all great. They're all great. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. We mentioned earlier about Zach Hess going in the seventh round of the MLB draft. He goes to the Detroit Tigers. His slotted signing bonus, $227,000. $227,700. A little bit of caveat to this one. Detroit Tiger general manager Al Avila got his start in coaching at St. Thomas University. The head coach at St. Thomas University was Paul Maneri. Don't think a phone call wasn't made. So a phone call was made. So congratulations to Zach Hess. Again, tomorrow, Josh Smith will join us and share his thoughts on going in the early second round to the New York Yankees and get his thoughts about this LSU Tiger baseball team as they get ready for super regional play. Again, if you're just joining us, if you've been through with us the whole day, I apologize, but I'm going to say it again. Super regional starts Saturday. First game is at 2 p.m. Sunday, 5 p.m. Monday, 7:30 p.m. if Monday is necessary. You got to win two. It's the best two out of three. And if you do that, then you are one of eight teams that have punched their ticket to Omaha and the College World Series. Two teams that are eerily similar in their approach to things, that have had kind of a roller coaster ride throughout the course of the season. But look, it's about time, I think, that LSU fans start to realize you can't judge LSU baseball early on. It does. I know it matters, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. You got to trust in the way that Paul Maneri does things. Skip Bertman always had April 15th was his day. By that time, he knew who his starting pitchers were, what his everyday lineup was going to be, and he stuck with that come hell or high water all the way through. Well, sometimes you get injuries, and sometimes things don't go that way. And Paul Maneri's had to juggle and juggle and juggle things around. And I just got to tell you, guy knows what he's doing. He knows what he is doing. I'm not saying they're going to win and get to Omaha or win the whole thing. But, I mean, every year he's got him in contention. And, you know, they pay those other coaches. Some of those coaches in the SEC a lot more than they play Paul. So I just think it's time we start to realize that the guy is good. He knows what he's doing, and he keeps tinkering and working and maneuvering and manipulating to try to get the best unit out there and get him in the right spot and put them where they're the most effective. And that's all you can ask. And he had enough confidence in himself to make changes and to pull Zach Hess out of that starting role to go to the bullpen. Just got the word, Todd Peterson, drafted by the Washington Nationals. I don't know if Todd Peterson's a starting pitcher or a guy coming out of the bullpen. I really don't know what he is. He may be just the opposite of Zach Hess. Zach Hess is just tailor-made for bullpen duty, closing duty. Todd Peterson, bigger, stronger. I think Todd Peterson could be a starting pitcher, and I think they may work him that way. So you had Zach Watson today, Zach Hess today, and now Todd Peterson to the Washington Nationals. So congratulations to him. Takes a lot of pressure off of these players. And it's good to get this out of the way before, so they can now start to focus on the task at hand, and that is to try and win 2 out of 3. But Maneri gets them in position, and I think that's all you can ask. He recruits well, and he's not afraid to change things up. Try to fit. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time it does work. And this could be one of his best coaching seasons ever if they can win 2 out of the next 3. Because he's had to deal with pitching issues left and right. And players with the bat, the players go in slumps. They don't always hit consistently well. So you're going to have the ups and downs of the year. And he still kept maneuvering. And he brought Chris Reed back, and he tried. And now he's got him right there at first base. Makes him a better fielding first defensive team. And Chris Reed has been known to come in and get some quality knocks. He wasn't afraid with Broussard and Hughes. Hughes at third. Doesn't hit it very well, but, boy, can he glove it. Yes, he can. Beloso as the DH. He was patient with Saul Garza, who was hurt early on in the season, but casually worked him back. And there's not a hotter hitter in baseball than Saul Garza. So that loss to Louisiana Tech, that loss to whoever else it was, that you keep thinking, all these midweek losses to in-state teams, in the grand scheme of things, look where LSU is now, and look what they're playing for. He's got them hot at the right time, and that, to me, is what a good baseball manager is all about. By the time we start realizing that, stop calling for him to get fired, please. Come on. That's crazy. That's crazy. But the coach that laid the foundation was Skip Bertman. And he didn't win everything early on, but he learned, and his players learned. And once they started, they couldn't be stopped. But they had to start somewhere, and that was in 1986. We'll relive that team and that moment when LSU and Florida State played in the most unusual game. Baseball player, now actor, Michael Papajohn, next on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
And to Mr.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
And we are back. Oh, it's going to be so much. I've been looking forward to this all day. Talking to quite an accomplished LSU athlete. He was drafted out of Vestavia Hills High School in Birmingham, Alabama, drafted by the Texas Rangers, but he instead chose to come to LSU to play baseball. He was the starting center fielder on the first LSU team to go to the College World Series back in 1986 and again in 1987. After his baseball career was over, he became quite and is quite the accomplished actor. Now I'm speaking about the one and only Michael Papajohn, who's kind enough to join us today. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Jordy. I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. It means a lot.
Well, this is going to be fun. I know it brings back near and dear memories to you when I mentioned Florida State. But look, it's now kind of commonplace. People around LSU that follow baseball expect LSU to go to the College World Series every year, and if they don't go, it's a disappointing year. But back in 86, somebody had to knock through the barrier, had to knock down the door, and you guys did. Just how fulfilling was that time?
Oh, man, you know, you go back, and it's been 33 years. But I just remember we did everything as a team, you know, not only just playing on the field, but we did everything off the field as a team, from our Halloween parties to going out to and that, you know, we really, and I know a lot of people talk about teams and being a close team, but we really were, and that helped us. And Coach Burton would talk to us about the World Series in Omaha, and you know, we've never been there before, so we could always just rely on him to tell us. But you really can't experience it until you actually go yourself, you know.
Well, back then, you know, Florida State was like a legendary team. They always had great players. Now, you had great players, but maybe not a whole lot of people knew about LSU baseball then. So your number, Florida State's number one, LSU's number two, and this network says we got to play a game between these two. But it was under unusual circumstances. I mean, it was after the tournament and right before the regional, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. They matched it up. I don't know if we were number one and Florida State was number two or vice versa, but it was just, they got this game together and got us a pedal jumper plane, and we shot over to Tallahassee to play this game. But let me might add, I want to just add that I think our team, the 86 team, had the most out of any other LSU team, big leaguers. It was either 7, 8, or 9. We're not exact. I got to total it up, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah.
We didn't know that many guys would go on to the big leagues, but I think it's the most out of any other team.
Getting
on that plane, Barry Manuel, I remember Mamou, just because actually we took one other pedal jumper to Gainesville, but that was kind of a bigger plane. When we got on that plane in Baton Rouge Airport, I remember Barry Manuel saying, "I've never been on a plane like this," and he's from Mamou, you know. And, you know, Leary called this plane the Knuckleball Express. I mean, we got in the biggest storm, plane was just – and Barry Manuel is gripping. I just remember he was white, and then Tom Brown told me, the coach goes, "Man, Barry just went from white to green." You know, he's gripping the handrest, and we flew in. We landed. It was the roughest flight I've ever been on, our team. And I remember Coach Burman, when we got off the plane, he said, "Hey, the weather's so bad, we don't know if we're playing or not. We may just go grab steaks and get back on the plane and fly back to Baton Rouge."
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we got the thumbs up to play. The field was so wet, there was no infield, outfield, no warming up. We just hit the field, and I personally, I'll never forget that game, just because I led off the game. I walked against Mike Loing. Mike Loing went on to the big leagues to have a great career.
Yeah,
walked. I was excited to you know, actually one of the first times we were on ESPN, if not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of my friends and family in Birmingham, my high school coach, and everything else. But I walked and I stole second. Revelle was batting and I didn't glance in, and Louis Alisea held up two hands, second baseman, real relaxed, in his foreign accent said, "Foul ball." And
I
didn't slide. He took the throw and tagged me on the ankle. And he totally deeped me. And I'm running back to the dugout. Skip didn't say anything at first. I ran back to the dugout going, "Oh man, I'm embarrassed. Oh, that was so embarrassing," especially on ESPN. And then Revelle hit a double. And that's when Skip, because we were like 44-1 when we scored first. And I remember Skip going, "Bleep, bleep, bleep, Papa John." So I ran right to the bathroom to get away from Skip and everybody else. And I went to the bathroom in the dugout and kind of hung out there till the inning was over.
I
ran out back out to center field. So, I got a lot of calls from my Birmingham friends. And, "Why didn't you slide? Why didn't you slide?" But that was my memory. And also Sorrento hit that home run. I'll let you ask. I didn't want to get long.
No. But it was kind of a walk-off homer, wasn't it?
Whoa, man, was it. And Alisea, Louis, they did, you know, I remember the Florida State fans. I remember they sacrificed bunted one of their runners from first to second. And the fans were very knowledgeable. They stood up and cheered. Uh-huh. And I said, well, our LSU fans haven't gotten there yet, you know.
Right.
But not to throw them under the bus, they just didn't understand the game as much as far as the fans were concerned. But they would sing Louis, we got to go now. And they were shaking keys, and they did a lot of fun stuff as a group, as fans. But Sorrento, it's funny that, you know, Mamou had a tough flight, but Mamou had a tough game because he gave that home run off of Sorrento in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yeah, I heard Skip said to tell the catcher Lyric, just go tell him throw it as hard as he can, and he did. And, boy, that guy turned on it and sent it over. But, hey, the season wasn't over, but you got to the World Series, and that was a first. You go back the next year. But that's kind of like the first made-for-television college baseball event that I can recall. And Skip, to his credit, was trying to build an LSU brand. And so he'd take on anybody, anywhere, at any time. And that had to instill a lot of confidence in you guys.
Oh, absolutely. And the Tallahassee game was our first game on ESPN. So, Jordy, I've told this story before, but I was the first batter to represent LSU at the College World Series.
Uh-huh.
And I had we played Lola Marymount, and that California pitcher threw a slider to my head, and it went in for a strike. And I looked so bad on TV, I struck out. And I walked back to the dugout, and I was breathing real fast. And Coach Burtman knew I was in trouble. And those ESPN cameras are a lot bigger then. But Coach Burtman took me in the training room and kind of talked to me like it was Christmas morning. We were drinking eggnog. And he goes, and I was breathing. I totally had a panic attack, you know.
Uh-huh.
But he sent me back out there. Years later, he told me I had a panic attack, you know, just a few years ago, actually.
Wow.
But Skip was an amazing, you know, as far as, you know, thinking about that team in 86 and how Skip handled us. And then to watch the team now, mm-hmm. and how they're groomed and how they walk around the field like big leaguers, it's pretty awesome.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What was harder, facing that pitcher from Loyola Marymount or facing Kevin Costner in For the Love of the Game?
Well, Kevin Costner, that was a lot easier because if you swing and miss in Hollywood, you get a second take.
Yes.
You know, in Omaha, you don't get a second take. But hitting those Hollywood balls are easy because you always get another shot. They just say take two or take three or take four. You know, but a lot of people don't know. You know, my quick story about For Love of the Game, Coach Burtman. You know, he called Augie Garrido and helped me get that part for Love of the Game. And it's a much longer story involved in that, but that really opened my career up to I got that part because of Coach Burtman, because he knew Augie Garrido, and Augie was a technical advisor on that movie. And then that's where I met the Sam Raimi, the director, that actually got me Spider-Man, where I killed Uncle Ben.
And then I
started playing all these bad guys, you know.
Yeah,
so really, really cool.
You're a good guy, but you get all the bad guy roles. You're the carjacker. But what I did not know in doing some research, and I know our listeners will appreciate this, Bobby Boucher was the baddest middle linebacker I've ever seen, and that wasn't Adam Sandler doing. That was Michael Papajohn getting all those hard hits as Bobby Boucher in The Waterboy. That must have been fun.
No, it wasn't fun. That job about killed me, man. But I'm real proud of it. I'm real proud of it because I was 34 at the time, and I'm proud that, you know, I think that movie's grossed more money than any football movie out there. But it is, and working for Adam was really cool, and I have a nice relationship with him. They had like a 20-year reunion type deal for that movie, at U-High, and I got to walk my son out at half to flip the coin because they had a Mud Dog reunion. So So that was really cool to share with my son. But that was, man, I can't believe that's been 20 years. But since that movie came out, but that was a tough job. But I'm very, very proud of that. That single bar face mask was not easy. You know,
yes, man, I love it. I can watch it today and just appreciate it even further. And then, of course, because of your relationship with Adam Sandler, you became the guard in The Longest Yard. And then it all came full circle, didn't it? And you're in the movie, and now you've got your own stunt man. So that's pretty cool.
Well, one quick story about The Longest Yard. The great Khalid, he only played in the football game because he wanted to kill guard Papa John. And Adam let me use my real name in the movie, which was also cool. But after the great Khalid came and tackled my character, actually picked him up and threw him into the bench, Adam Sandler from Video Village said, "Papa John, come here, it's great. Come here. And I run to Video Village, is where they watch the playback of the great Khalid throwing me into the bench. Adam goes, "Check this out, Papa John, you're awesome. You're awesome." I go, "Adam, that wasn't me. That was my stunt double." And he goes,
"Wow."
It was so funny. They actually used it because I was 40 years old at the time. I wasn't going to do that. But Adam thought it was me because what I did for him in Waterboy was kind of a funny story for me.
Well, it's just a fascinating life that you have lived, and there's a lot more to it. But I've got to believe that your time as an LSU baseball player probably brings up the fondest memories that you could possibly think of.
Oh, absolutely. We're still on a thread where our teammates still text one another. And I look back at not only Coach Burtman, but our team and how LSU shaped my life. Really helped me with being a team player, of course, and how to deal with pressure. You know, it's really helped me in the movie business because when you walk on a movie set, there's a lot of pressure there. And
yeah.
There's so many other areas that I know how LSU shaped me. And also to be able to stay in touch with those guys. And, you know, I just saw Coach Burtman last night in Canterbury at his radio show. I went by there to say hello to him.
Uh-huh.
So it's a tight-knit group, and, we bleed purple and gold. And there's some great, great stories off the field that just will live forever, you know.
you were truly like the Animal House fraternity shop when y'all were playing baseball. There were a lot of mustaches back in those days, man. That was and I remember some of those Halloween parties. Those were legendary, I was told. So good times, man. Really good times.
Yeah, there's no social media back then, so which was probably good. But but yeah, we were so competitive. We were trying to figure out who was going to have the best costume, and I was always a mummy. And there's great costumes, great memories, and and yeah, it's great talking to you, Jordy. Really great reliving those days, you know.
Well, I tell you what, a made for television event, and now can come full circle, and LSU's two wins away from getting to the College World Series again. It's almost like a rite of passage, but somebody had to be the first, and you guys were the first, and you started the trend, and that put Skip on the map. That put LSU baseball on the map, and they haven't looked back since. So thanks for sharing some great memories, and way to go, Bobby Boucher. You were good, man. You're a better football player than a baseball player.
Hey, Jordy, thanks. Hey, remember my mama said, and always drink good H2O, okay?
Hey, take care,
Jordy,
my friend.
I want to say one thing.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Before I go,
yes.
I just wanted to give a throw out to you know, our team captains like Rob Leary and Jeff Rebelay and you know, Mark Guthrie, and
yep,
those seniors were really, you know, when you're coming in and you're a junior and a junior college transfer, we had not only play as a team, but our team leadership and our captains were real special, you know. So just a big shout out to those guys.
I got one question for you. One question.
Yeah,
Albert Bell got a hold of one, how far could he hit it?
Man, Albert, I love Albert because I played next to him. But between the lines, man, I've never seen a hitter to this day with a personal vendetta against the baseball. You know, like it was personal, man, and it was angry, and there was a lot of energy there when Albert went to the plate. And, you know, there, just the way he took a hack and the, how much that at bat meant to him. And it was always personal. It was beautiful to watch him hit, though, and how strong he was. And,
yeah.
And he got some great, great, great stories of watching Albert. You know, they used to be like 3,000 or 4,000 people used to come out just to watch him hit bat practice,
yes.
You know.
Yes. And I was one of them. I'm like, they're telling him how far he's going to hit this thing. So, yeah, the good times, some great players, great memories. Michael, are you working on a new film? What's on the future dockets for you?
Yeah, real quick, but no one realized how hard Albert was working. You know, he worked hard on his hit. You know, he loved to hit. Terry, yeah. You know, I can go on and on about Albert, think the world of him. But, hey, man, so I did a movie called Black and Blue. I played a SWAT leader. That comes out in September, a real cool cop movie.
Great.
Which was kind of cool. I didn't die in that, which was nice. I did a movie called The Friend, which was I played an oncologist and got to play a doctor. We shot it in Fairhope. It's called The Friend and had some really nice scenes with Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's
yes.
brother.
Yes.
And so I'm starting to transition. I still can do some action, man, but, I need a stunt double. I'm 54 now, so I can still take a bullet hit or do a little fight. But I'm looking, maybe it'd be great to get maybe an LSU athlete that kind of looks like me that I could groom into being my stunt double. That'd
wow.
be cool.
Wow. Josh
but,
Smith.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
I'll put the word out.
And I'm also,
go ahead.
Put that word out. And I'm transitioning into a documentary filmmaker, too, and been shooting this documentary on Coach Burtman the past year, which it's going to be special
that
story.
Is awesome. But hey, Michael Papa John,
yeah, man,
you're the best. You're the best.
And
we're out of time, my friend. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely, anytime, Jordy. Go Tigers! And thank you for thanks for having me. It means a lot. Thanks, buddy.
You're the best. All right, Michael Papa John, from the ballpark to your movie theater screens, part of that 86 team, the first to get to the College World Series, and they had to play Florida State in a made-for-TV game, quite bizarre, on the Phil Negro knuckleball plane. How about that? You can just imagine that plane bouncing all over the place. We'll be back to wrap it up. Stay with us.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil. Also available as a tablet in the vitamin aisle at CVS.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-531-5691 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-531-5691. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-531-5691. That's 800-531-5691.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Getting a letter from the IRS that you owe back taxes can be scary, but it doesn't have to be. Call GoTax Resolution in Lafayette at 337-420-1040 today. We'll help stop garnishments, levies, and seizures immediately. With over 35 years of dealing directly with the IRS, our team of local professionals will help you pay the least amount possible. So if you owe back taxes to the IRS, you need help. Call the tax professionals at GoTax Resolution in Lafayette at 337-420-1040. Your go-to tax relief.
You can always score big by being a member of the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. Here's what's going on now.
Right now in the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse, we've got Houston Astros Weekend Getaways presented by Lafayette Roofing, a $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester's Steakhouse, or a $25 gift certificate to Mabel's Kitchen, and a $50 gift card to Prejean's.
Win tickets, gift certificates, and more by joining the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse on 1037thegame.com or on the free mobile app. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
All right, that was a lot of fun with Michael Papajohn, but we're running out of time, so let's go to On This Day in Sports History, June 4th, way back in 1976. The shot heard round the world. Gar Hurd of the Phoenix Suns sinks a buzzer beater from the hash mark right in front of the Boston Celtic bench, sends Game 5 of the 1976 Finals into overtime. Hurd's play, yes, still referred to as the shot heard round the NBA world. Yes, indeed. All right, if today, June the 4th, is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great one. Let's see who you share it with today. Happy birthday to pitcher extraordinaire Aaron Nola. Yes, indeed. Former football player Ronnie Prude and Pedro Suarez of LSU fame. All celebrating their birthday today. And Joyce Meyer, the evangelist, 75 years young today. Special thanks to our guest, Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat, for his thoughts on the FSU Seminoles. Patrick Ebert talking about the Super Regionals, and an extended conversation with Michael Papajohn, center fielder, actor. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun. CD, job well done as always, my friend. You're the best in the business. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Tomorrow, more on the LSU Super Regional. Preview Game 3 of the NBA Finals, more on the MLB Draft. So come on back, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Hultberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.